and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, again, you can always listen to us on the air by going to www.guardiantalkradio.com or by going to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, where you can listen to the show again. We normally upload it the day after it's aired. So go there, take a look. And while you're on the website, please go look at the calendar and see what we have going on. Because, you know, if another person comes up to me and says, oh, I was there 2 years ago, do I need to come back? I might get a little bit hot under the collar because we have 16 shows a year. We have movies every month that are free to the public. We have talks. We have all kinds of stuff happening at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. So you can come, I'd say minimum 12 to 20 times a year and always see something different. And it's a great place to hang out. It's a safe space. And by that, I don't just mean safe in terms of physical safety, but in terms of being thinking freely, engaging in conversation about topics that, you know, you might be curious about. We have a beautiful garden. It's a great place for kids to run around and go crazy. So don't be scared to bring your kids. We love having children there. And generally, we're not so keen on people touching the art objects, but we are keen on talking about the art objects and encouraging kids to engage with their culture. So please come on. And of course, every Sunday, it's free. So there is no reason not to come. After church, bring the family. All 20 of you can come for free, and we're happy to see you. And on the fourth Sunday of every month, it is also, we provide a free tour guide in the gallery. So every Sunday's free, but it's a self-tour. But if you want to have a person there to answer all your questions and wrangle those kids, we have free tour guides on fourth Sundays. So come on down to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas and engage with your culture and creative community. I have international visitors this week in the studio. Wendy Wolf and Remco Jansonius are from the Vizcaya Museum and Gardens in Miami. Wendy is the Deputy Director of Learning and Community Engagement, and Remco is the Deputy Director of Collections and Curatorial Affairs. And they've been speaking about the objects and the building itself and all kinds of things, and why they're here in the Bahamas, which is to learn more about the Bahamians that actually were involved in building the museum, in creating the gardens, in doing many of the things that led to its success as a small endeavor. So who's going to take the question of why Vizcaya? I've always wondered that.
It's a great question, and probably my answer is going to be a little confusing, because it is a little confusing. For one thing, Vizcaya is on the shore of Biscayne Bay. Biscayne, Vizcaya.
Okay. Oh, like, Biscayne. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And
yeah,
that goes back to northern Spain, Basque country. Mm-hmm. Vizcaya could come from the Basque word for an elevated place.
Okay.
It could also come from, I said last night, Deering was really interested in the age of exploration, mm-hmm, of the people who came from, mm-hmm, from Europe to, mm-hmm, to explore the New World. On one of the ships, there was this sailor called Vizcaino. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the source of the name.
So did he come up with a name for the estate?
And there's multiple references in the archives. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, Deering says, you know what, let's just keep it a mystery.
What
the origin is.
Darn.
But in the beginning, Vizcaya was spelled with an S.
Okay.
In the earliest correspondence, mm-hmm, and then at one point it turns into a Z, mm-hmm, which I think it's the only case that Vizcaya is spelled with a Z.
Yeah, because when we sent out the flyer, a couple of people called and they were like, Vizcaya, where is that? Is that in Europe? Or, and we're like, no, it's in Miami. So it was interesting. And actually, have you seen, because at the beginning of the show, you spoke to the founding of the city of Miami, so 1896. And I was always told, have you seen the charter for the founding of the city?
I have not seen it.
So you might want to go look at it, because what I've also heard, and you might want to ask them at the archives and the AMMC, because they'll know much better than I do, because those are the history buffs, that there are many, many signatures on that document that are Bahamian.
Yes.
And so you might even find correlations. Like, you might be able to match some of the names.
Good point.
Because,
good
again, point. Like family, you know, we probably only have, I don't know what it is, 60 to 80 names that we consider truly Bahamian, certain last names. And I'm sure you'll find some crossover there. So who knows?
We'll go for that. Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks. Because Bahamians really did not only build the Vizcaya, but we say, we like to say, we built the city of Miami.
Good point.
So thank you for coming down and doing that research for us. And you talked a little bit about reaching into the community. Can you speak about some of your efforts to like engage Bahamians today? Because it's one thing to speak about the historical Bahamians and the Bahamians that built the home and worked in the gardens. But how are you bringing Bahamians into the museum today?
Well, as you mentioned, when we started, Vizcaya is located in Coconut Grove, a mm-hmm. neighborhood in Miami. And recently we've been connecting with a number of women who live in Coconut Grove and have for most of their lives, and also their families or they moved to Coconut Grove from mm-hmm. the Bahamas. We refer to them as the matriarchs. Mm-hmm. In September, we had about 30 matriarchs.
We have plenty of those here.
Senior women who are really committed to historic preservation in their own neighborhood and, mm-hmm. and the built environment of their neighborhood. And as we're talking about, as much as the story and history of their lives and their heritage. So we invited them for tea. It was a Coconut Grove chat-along tea party. And each of the women spoke for about 2 minutes.
And they had big hats, right?
They did.
Yeah,
they let us know that they wanted a tea party in which they could dress up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come and celebrate.
One thing I love about living here, let me tell you, we still dress here.
Gloves, mind you,
the hats, the whole thing.
Mind you, there was also punch.
Yeah.
Punch is good, too.
It was a very festive afternoon. And so each of the women shared a brief reflection of Miami 100 years ago. And in some cases, they had connections with family members who worked at Vizcaya. And so actually next week, we have a group of about 10 or 12 coming to mm-hmm. speak with us in more detail, those that had some specific connections to Vizcaya through their families, mm-hmm. someone that worked on the estate or mm-hmm. Or came through the estate in one way or another. And
was that how you were able to identify the ones you have identified as being Bahamian? How did you identify like the stirrup and the sands?
Those names were actually marked with origin.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. Archives. So they actually might be able to add some more to the list.
Exactly. And so this is all part of we're sort of phasing into deeper and deeper understanding of the people that were here on the estate. And hopefully we look forward to gathering some oral histories mm-hmm. From some of these neighbors as well, so that we can add that to our archives. Ultimately, our intent is that we are looking for these histories and these narratives so that we can infuse them into our communication, so that when you come to the museum to visit and learn about Vizcaya in the past and the present, we can talk about those families and those people in much more detail, mm-hmm. and also from a very personal perspective mm-hmm. of people that knew them and really understand what the experience was, not just at Vizcaya, but also in the context of Miami 100 years ago mm-hmm. and what life was like in Coconut Grove.
And to actually have a pride in having built some, because I think, again, you know, the erasure of those stories and the erasure of, you know, who did that work, you know, has led very often to this divide between, you know, what belongs to people or what should be preserved, because, you know, it does. And we had that. I told you yesterday we had that discourse. I wasn't here for that. But around the preservation of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, there were voices saying, you know, just let it rot. Because it just represents one thing, and it represents the colony, and that's all it represents. But even within the colony, I mean, of course it represents the colony, but within that, there were also people of color doing, you know, doing good work and having and creating things that we should be proud of having created, because I'm pretty sure Sir William Doyle wasn't, like, carving the newel posts on that building, right? And there, you know, it's such a kind of gorgeous object that there is, you know, a real pride in having made that, right?
Absolutely, they do. They take a lot of pride in Vizcaya, as do we. And so as museum people, mm-hmm. Part of what we've been doing as an institution in the last year is really thinking about our purpose and our mission, mm-hmm. and really making sure that our mission reflects our aspirations to connect with the past, understand the present, shape the future, and that Vizcaya, like the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, is really an enduring place, mm-hmm. An inclusive place, mm-hmm. That we've got lots of different kinds of stories to talk about.
Right.
And whoever you are, come as you are. Mm-hmm. And we think we have a story
for you.
That you will enjoy.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about the art program, because we've talked a lot. We haven't kind of got onto that yet. We have 10 minutes left. We're good. Because you're also incorporating contemporary art into all of this, which is sort of who's going to take that
question?
Well,
you know, Wendy, you were saying before where we have been yesterday, today. Just on the way to the studio, we stopped by the Junk New World.
Yes.
Which was very
Barabbas's Shack, very
inspiring. So, of course, we know about Junk New in Miami, in Coconut Grove. We once had a Junk New parade or procession at Vizcaya for some other program. But one of the arts programs that we have at Vizcaya is the processional arts workshop. We've done that for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Later this summer is the fourth time. We bring two artists from upstate New York to Miami for a week-long community workshop where kids, families, school groups, I think, are also, they come to Vizcaya.
Well, school age groups. It's a summer. School age and summer.
So they come to Vizcaya to create these basically lanterns, big lanterns that they are creating over the process of a week. And at the end of the week, people are coming together to do this procession.
Which is beautiful. Nighttime
performance.
Yeah, you showed images. It was just lovely.
And Wendy, you were saying you used the word magic, and you said, the word magic is sometimes overused. It truly is magical.
Yeah, it did look magical.
We had 1,300 people walk through the estate to the water, and it was just amazing. So
I hope they're going to degrade nicely in the bay. Those little
ships.
No,
we don't leave them
okay.
in the bay.
Oh no, okay, good, all right.
No, but
checking.
We're doing this for the fourth time this year, and for next year we are actually looking at some other possibilities, and this is why we're here. Also, we're looking towards the Caribbean.
If you're interested in processional art, the Caribbean. I mean, not just the Bahamas, but I mean, again, like every Caribbean nation has some sort of processional art form. I mean, they all call it something different, you know, whether it's carnival or crop over or a Barabadoo or a Junkanoo. I mean, everyone's got something. It's very much a part of the culture. Of course, you know, rooted in Africa. So yes, we're going to get you down for Junkanoo for sure.
Yes, we'll be back.
That's going to happen. So how are you incorporating art as well into the home itself, or are the exhibits fixed always? So the furniture is where the furniture always was.
So the decorated rooms, yes, they are furnished as they used to be during Dering's time. But about 10 years ago, we started this contemporary arts program, CAP. We have been commissioning artists to create work, site-specific work, inspired by what they know, what they learn, what they see at Vizcaya. Some of these artists have spent very little time at Vizcaya. Others have spent considerable time in the archives, and based on what they know, they are creating what has ranged from an installation that's up for 3 months to a performance. Sometimes it's music, just different things, yes. And we've been doing that for 10 years, and we are on a little break right now to figure out where we're going next.
Mm-hmm. And do they join the collection, any of the works? Or
no, so far we have not acquired these objects. There's always a little bit of discussion, now we should keep this. And
well, it's difficult because obviously the mission of the building is, I mean, there's a preservational aspect, right? So where are you going to put that?
And
you're going to have another building, right?
Exactly.
And that's going to, So I see the problem right away.
But I see also that at one point we will change our policy. Because right now we're talking about bringing back some of the previous work that had been installed, which really fits in the stories that we want to tell at this very moment.
I guess it's a way to continue, and you speak to the past, understanding the past so you can understand the present and then the future, and it speaks to a future and a... because I think what's always, and you also spoke in your talk, and I think that's something we think about at the NAGB too, is that, you know, you just don't want, and I think that's why a lot of people are alienated from museums, because they have this ancient idea of a museum, which is kind of this wooden panel, dusty place with like cases and you can't touch anything and nothing ever changes. And I think that's also why people say, oh, I went 3 years ago. Should I come back? You know, no, the museum's like a living, you know, it's a living organism, right? And it's constantly changing and constantly evolving. And that would be a way to kind of, again, keep all the different programmings. It's like, how do you keep the museum alive? Because what you don't want it to do is become this kind of static object where people can say, oh, yeah, I saw that, you know?
Even though at times it can be a bit of a challenge because many of our visitors come to Vizcaya because of what they think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a decorated room with furnishings mm-hmm. from the 18th century mm-hmm. or whatever, and then they run into this contemporary yeah. art installation, yeah. which yeah. can be a little shocking at
yeah,
times.
Probably, yeah, probably.
But then it is our task to really be able to explain why it is there mm-hmm. and what story it is telling about Vizcaya.
Well, and that's great because if they came there because they wanted to see the decorated rooms, that might be because they think the only thing they like is decorated rooms. Where if right. they come across something new, it might actually, you know, again, one out of every 10 might say, hey, you know what, I always thought I didn't like contemporary art, but hey, guess what? It's not so bad after all. So
that's what we want to hear.
And I heard Udo Kittelmann was a museum director. He runs the Berlin National Gallery in Berlin now, but he used to live and work in Frankfurt, where I used to live and work. And I remember he told me something when I was a young and up and coming museum. And he said, you know, I think of the museum like a trap. Like you want to, you know, get people in. They think one thing about it. You know, and then once you get them in, you've got them trapped, you know, and then you can introduce them to something new or a different idea or maybe something that they didn't think they were going to get. And I always thought that was kind of a funny idea, creating these little traps for people, like a mouse trap, little piece of cheese. So what is what's next for you? Do you have how many shows a year? Do you change things? Your contemporary thing is one show a year, and then you have the. You said you spoke about the light, the processional thing that's happening now in the summer.
Yeah, it has changed from year
mm-hmm.
to year.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it has been a 3-month installation of mm-hmm. one artist.
Okay.
Another time it has been a 6-8 month installation mm-hmm. of 12 artists, both inside the house and in the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And for several years also, it was a one-evening spectacle, in a way,
okay.
with performance and sound and installations.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the processional art workshop is part of this also.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, the community workshops start the first week of August.
Okay.
And then we'll culminate with the Saturday night processional performance.
Okay. Because what I'm trying to get to is, like, if you're Bahamian, you're going to Miami to shop, August is a good time to go because you can be part of this
absolutely
processional artwork workshop.
Absolutely.
And or the procession itself.
There are two mm-hmm. workshops every day. There's one in the afternoon and there's one in the evening. Again, they're free. So if you're coming to Miami, you want to check out vizcaya.org. That's our website.
Okay.
And we have
which
kinds
is
of
V-I-Z or Z C-A-Y-A.
.org. Exactly. Thank you. And also VizcayaTickets.org is where you could actually sign up for a workshop, or if you know that you're going to be in Miami in August, it's where you could also sign up for the processional workshop, the processional performance itself.
Yeah, and if you think you had a relative who might have been in Coconut Grove back in the turn of the century, by all means write to us at the National Art Gallery or call us. Or if you're going to Miami, go to the Vizcaya and go in there because you might find out that one of your grandfathers or uncles worked there. And that would be, I think, a great gift for you guys to meet a family member and hear a little bit more about who these people and bring them to life, right?
We'd love to.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it. You know, it's the end of the show. Goes quickly. But thank you so much for coming to the Bahamas. I know we're going to see you again soon. So come
Absolutely.
Back again soon. And definitely come back for Junkanoo.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
We will take you. I will give you a whistle. You must have a whistle. And then you can join in more of the culture and figure out all those connections at your museum. So really, it was such a pleasure having you. We were speaking with Wendy Wolf and Remco Jansonius. Wendy's the Deputy Director of Learning and Community Engagement, and Remco Jansonius, the Deputy Director of Collections and Curatorial Affairs at the Vizcaya Museum and Gardens in Miami. And again, that's V-I-Z-C-A-Y-A. And the website is vizcaya.org. and go there if you're visiting. We all know we go to Miami to shop, but let's take a half a day and let's leave the shopping mall and go to the Vizcaya and see what we can learn about our connected cultures. And if you're not going to Miami, you know, you can still come to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. So I'm waiting for you there. Please come and see us. We're open Tuesday to Sunday, and every Sunday is free. So there is no good reason not to come, and we are always excited to see you and share our stories. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Have a really great evening. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.